Good morning, Lakeview. It's good to see everyone here today, and we're excited to have you with us. And if you're a first-time visitor, we're very glad that you made the decision to come and spend your morning with us. And we welcome you here, and we always welcome our familiar faces back, and it's good to have our church family back together. I think I know most people here, but just in case, my name is Kay Johnson. I am the chairperson of the Staff Parish Relations Committee here at Lakeview, and so I'm coming to share some announcements with you this morning. First of all, the first announcement is probably one you've already heard, but as of last Sunday, Pastor Chris did give us his resignation, and so he will no longer be with us as our pastor. We wish him well in this new ministry part of life that he is going into. So we are wishing him well. I know that he was a wonderful leader for our church. There are many things we will miss about him, including his bald jokes that he always shared with us that were funny. So we'll miss those kind of things. We'll certainly miss his lovely wife. Ashley was a wonderful gift to our church as well. But we do have, we are very fortunate in that we have North Alabama Conference still working with us very closely to fill that position. We will have an interim pastor here very soon. We're very glad to have our district superintendent with us today. I think it speaks volumes when they can be here in such a short time frame to help us and support us and help us map out the journey that we're about to be on as we find that interim pastor. And then, of course, you know, with our appointed pastor in just a short time after that. So all that's going to keep moving on, and that's what we are going to do as well, is keep moving on, doing the things that we do well as a church, and that is, you know, sharing God's word and love with others, also loving each other and supporting and serving each other. So if you are a first-time member, you've walked into a church setting that is really full of people who do love on each other and take care of each other. So we'll work on that as things progress. So also, just to let you know kind of what's going on this week here at Lakeview, immediately following this service today, we have the Upward Volunteer Meeting. Last year, we had 58 small children who signed up for Upward Soccer. And the only way that that is possible is if we have lots of volunteers to help, because with those 58 children come lots of parents and lots of siblings and grandparents, and it's a great way for us to reach the community and reach out to them and support and offer a church community to people that live around us. So if you're interested in volunteering for that, please be at the meeting today at 12 noon. There are all kinds of ways that you can volunteer. Crystal will find a place to plug you in. If for some reason you can't be at the meeting, just let her know and she'll find a way for sure to plug you in. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we will be having our two services as we normally do. One service will be at 12 noon, and one will be at 6:30 p.m. in the evening. So please join us here for Ash Wednesday services. We will not have small groups, but we will have our Ash Wednesday services this week. All right. On Thursday night of this week, we have a Finance Committee meeting. That committee will be meeting here at 6:30 p.m., if you're a member of the Finance Committee, please try to attend that. Gloria is our Finance Chair. She will has already sent out an email letting everybody know. But if for some reason you thought you should be attending that and you didn't get the communication, just reach out to the church office or to Gloria to confirm if you should be here or not. But it's for the committee members on the Finance Committee. And then the final thing that I have to remind you guys is about our admin board meeting. That will be on Sunday the 26th at 6:30 p.m. And that is open to everyone. So it's not a closed meeting at all. In fact, we encourage you to attend because that's where you can get the current information that's going on within the church, reports from all the different committees, what they're working on. And so we encourage you to attend that admin board. Okay? And I don't do this very often, so I forgot my next note, which is over here on my phone. So let me grab that. And technically, I guess, no, I couldn't skip this. There's no way I could have skipped this because this has been very powerful for me this week. Maybe y'all have had your own struggles this week. But it was just a scripture that was shared with me by one of my prayer buddies this week, and I just really appreciated it. And it's been very helpful. So I want to share this scripture with you. In fact, let's stand while I do this, please. And following the reading of the scripture, Jennifer and the team's going to lead us in worship. Okay. So this is from Hebrews chapter 30, 20, and 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, that same God of peace will equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen.
It's our time. We must rise up and no longer disparage. It's our time, church, to honor our heritage. We have a Savior. He gave it all on the cross. We stand beside martyrs who counted nothing as loss. They took God's mysteries, opened them up for us. Stephen, John the Baptist, Bonhoeffer, Jan Hus. Surrounded by a cloud of witnesses above, it's now our turn to model his unending love. Our mission is one we cannot confuse, nor muddy up with some trite excuse. You say you're not well-versed, ready, or able. I think Moses even tried to use that fable. The time we have, it's now more urgent. If we should hear, well done, faithful servant. Yeah, church, it's our time. It's our time to confess the ways we're mangled, the sins and selfishness that have us entangled. Lust, greed, and pride, their path leads to the grave. Yet we return to our sins as if we're a slave. Can we survive in this putrid Dead Sea? I quote Paul, may it never be. So let's cast aside our individual leprosy and begin to leave a biblical legacy. There's a glorious prize awaiting to be won, and the way to win is to start to run. Let's lace them up and fight the good fight, become to the world both salt and light. Our life on earth is merely a vapor. Our chapter must move from pen to paper. So church, let's get to writing because it's our time. It's our time, church. We have what it takes to help the world from its slumber awake. To Jesus, we are his beautiful bride. Whom shall we fear with him on our side? We have each other. We are not alone. It's iron to iron in the combat zone. There's a promise of life full of adventure. As long as we give both talents and treasure, the workers are few, the harvest is plenty, with so many lives running on empty. Scores of people trying to cope, they've come to the end of their proverbial rope. Young eyes are wandering, looking for direction. Make sure we point them to his resurrection. The clock's ticking, we're on our dime. Hey church, rise up! It's our time.
It is our time. It is time for us to gather and see that out of the clouds of storms around us, God is still speaking to us. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning and to be a part of this time together. We continue to love and support you guys, especially in a little bit of a difficult time and in transition. And so we'll still be here to make sure that happens for you. Today, there are two scriptures that I wanted to share with you about cloud speak. Now, this is an unusual kind of scripture we have. In fact, I don't know how many of you watch clouds, but if you were watching this past week, Thursday was a weather alert day. I can remember when there weren't tornado sirens and there weren't weather alerts and there wasn't a Doppler radar and there wasn't a weatherman who you could tell how severe the weather was by whether his coat was off, his tie was undone, and his suspenders were showing. It was a time when you just kind of figured it out. My grandfather, who was kind of a unique kind of guy, would used to take me when he said the pressure is changing. I learned later it was the barometric pressure. He said, the pressure is changing, so let's go out on the front porch. And he would take a cup of coffee, and he would go out there. My grandmother would give me a cup of coffee, which was more sugar and milk than it was coffee. It was a drop of coffee, and the rest was sugar and milk. And we'd sit out on the front porch, and we would watch the clouds when the pressure would change. And when we did, all of a sudden, what was a partly cloudy day would become just a bank of gray clouds. And then dark clouds would begin to gather. When dark clouds would begin to gather, in the distance, we would hear a thunder clap here. And then all of a sudden, you might also see in the distance lightning and thunder. And that's when I learned to time the lightning and the thunder. When the lightning struck, you started counting the seconds, and then the thunder came to you. You knew how far away the clouds were. And so I've been listening to cloud speak for since I was about 8 years old. The clouds were speaking to us, and as they got closer and closer, and then my grandfather would say, okay, the clouds are talking to us. It's time to go inside now. There's a storm about to be here. So cloud speak, but now take that and then imagine what happens when a voice comes out of a cloud. And that's two passages of scripture I want to share with you today. First, from Exodus, the 24th chapter, verses 12 through the end of the chapter. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and wait there. Moses is always having to wait and tell other people to wait. And I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction. So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he said, wait here for us until we come back to you again, for Aaron and Ur are with you. Whoever has a dispute can go to them. And then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. And now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. And Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And then from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, Peter, only a few days before, had proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah. And we pick up these words. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared Moses and Elijah talking to him. And then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three dwellings here for you. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, suddenly a voice came out of a bright cloud. The bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud voice said, this is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. These were the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wow. Out of the cloud, God spoke. Moses and Peter, James, and John were recipients of an awe-filled kind of experience. There weren't a lot of folks in the New Testament and the Old Testament that got that experience. There were some along the way that got to see the glory of God, the awe-ness of God. Moses on the mountaintop comes back after his first encounter with God, shining, appearance was different. If you ever watched the movie, it was Charlton Heston came back. He went up with dark hair, came back with gray hair. That was wonderful. So his countenance changed. It was the idea that being in the presence of God is so awe-filled that it causes a change in you. Peter, James, and John go up with Jesus and see Jesus' appearance changes. And when it changes, and they are so filled with awe, it is absolutely incredible. In fact, I love this. It was a moment that would change them, not only outside, but inside forever. And so Moses encounters God in a different way than he ever had before, even on this mountaintop, after being there twice before. For Moses, God is preparing him to teach the people of God how to be the people of God. That's what it was all about. It was all about the fact that you can have the rules, you can have all the different kinds of commandments, you can have the covenant, you have all those things in order, but unless you know how to live that covenant out, you're not really living the covenant. Now, I had the privilege of teaching Old and New Testament survey on the college level for about 16 years while also serving a church. I was an adjunct, and if you can imagine taking Old Testament at 8 o'clock in the morning... It was kind of an interesting thing, and New Testament as well, but Old Testament was always a challenge for some at that time. But I had this mantra that I shared a whole lot. The mantra, in fact, my students would go, okay, here he goes again. So you'll hear it twice today too, just because it's fun to say. In the beginning, at the Garden of Eden, God just simply wanted Adam and Eve to be his people and he'd be their God. That's the relationship. Then it became formalized in a written covenant to Abraham a little later. You be my people and I will be your God. And then because they couldn't keep the one covenant of Abraham and of Adam and Eve, because they couldn't keep that one covenant, God gives them 10 commandments to keep that one covenant. And then because they couldn't keep the 10 commandments, he gave them 613 Levitical laws so they could keep the 10 commandments, so they could keep the one covenant. And then because they had trouble keeping the Levitical law and the covenant, there's thousands of rabbinical sayings so they can help them keep the 613 Levitical laws so they can keep the one covenant, the 10 commandments and the one covenant. And then because of all that wasn't happening and they weren't keeping the covenant as a whole, God said, don't make me come down there. And that was evidently what happens at this point, where all of a sudden God's people begin to understand it's not just about knowing the law, not just about knowing the covenant, but it is a covenant given to the people so that they may know and understand how to live with each other and live in relationship to God. God said, don't make me come down there. And that brings us to the second cloud speak. The second cloud speak was a little different. Jesus had been walking on water. He'd been changing water into wine. He'd been making the lame walk. He had made the blind see. He had raised a daughter from the dead. He had been talking about radical ideas like loving your neighbor, even the Samaritans. Who in the world would want to love a Samaritan in those days? He was doing these radical statements about forgiveness, forgiving one another, turning the other cheek. And I served in the Huntsville area at one point in my ministry a few years ago, and my congregation was filled with engineers, and I'm sure that in that crowd that Jesus was speaking to, there were some mathematicians who, when he said, now turn the cheek 70 times 7, and some of them are going, you better stay away from me because you're up to 189, up to 489, and you just need to be careful because 490 and I'm after you. No, Jesus was talking about radical love and care for his people. He was talking about how you live together as the kingdom of God come on earth, and it was radical. Finally, Jesus turns to his disciples one day, and he says to them, what are people saying about me? Now, it wasn't that he was paranoid about what was going on. He wanted to know if the kingdom of God and what he was talking about was actually coming through to the people. And so the disciples began to respond. Well, some people say that you're a prophet. Others say that you're Elijah. Come back to life. And then Peter steps up, just like that fifth grader who knows all the answers. Just waiting for him. You know, everybody's taking their turn. And he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Yes, y'all don't tell anybody." Now, "y'all don't tell anybody" is not in the Revised Standard Version. I may have updated that with a little bit of Southern. Essentially, he says, "Don't tell anybody until the right time." And in this particular case, the resurrection. Then 6 days later, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. And if I was John, I'd be a little upset with Matthew. Because in Matthew's text, he says, Peter and James and his brother John, almost like he had to come along because he was just in the family. But no, he really was a part of that inner circle. Of that inner circle that Jesus had, that they he brought them along to pray. He brought them along to understand. So up on the mountain they go. And when they get to that mountain, Jesus' appearance changes. There's a bright light that comes upon him and emanates from him. And in that moment, Peter, James, and John get this incredible experience, this incredible mountaintop experience of seeing Jesus in his heavenly being. Not just the divine, not just the human part of Jesus that had been out in the world proclaiming the kingdom of God, but now the divine part of Jesus, both human and divine Jesus was. And so they see that part of him, and they are awestruck by that experience. And if that weren't enough, in comes Elijah and Moses standing with Jesus, talking with him. And Peter does what all of us would have done. "Oh, it is good that we're here." Boy, he says, we're blessed. I love that. He says, "We're blessed. And by the way, we'll build you three dwellings. We'll build you one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you." And in the back of his mind, this is also not in the Revised Standard Version. He would also say, maybe Peter was thinking, "Okay, we'll build one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we'll call it St. James, St. John, and St. Peter's. And we'll build a temple there." In fact, the Desert Fathers, who translated most of the scriptures that we have today, and one of the major players in why we have the Bible as we have it today, translating it into different languages so people could hear it and read it and understand it for themselves, they talked about the fact that Peter, in many respects, was trying to domesticate the divine, trying to control. You know, here we are. This is a blessing. We're on the mountaintop, so we're going to stay on this mountaintop. We're going to build these three dwellings right here. We're going to stay right here because we have been blessed. Peter's memorial response was a response highly designed to control the experience. Now, interestingly enough, that before Peter can even finish the sentence, notice what happens in Matthew, directly from his word. He says, he says to him, "This is my son, my beloved, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." You see, Peter's memorial response is a reflection how we often prefer to stay on the mountain rather than following Jesus into the world. If you notice very carefully, God interrupts Peter and simply says, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, Jesus had been saying a lot of things, those radical things about loving each other, about loving each other in ways. In fact, this was so radical. He said, "Love each other as I have loved you," not just in a love that you can perform, but the way I have loved you. And he says, "If you're my disciple, they'll know you're my disciple by the way you love one another." Those powerful words that came out at that moment. It was at that moment that Jesus becomes the center of Peter's attention, but at the same time, unfortunately, Peter didn't get it. God interrupts him out of the cloud and says, "Not only this is my son, I love him and I'm pleased with him," but he says to him, "Listen to him. Listen to what he's saying." You know, sometimes we can talk a lot, we can say a lot of things, but are we really listening to how God is speaking to us and calling us in our life? We can have our own thoughts and our own ideas and say, okay, God, I hope you agree with what I'm thinking. But in this particular case, God is saying to Peter, listen to him. You see, Jesus was not out performing and making memorials, building memorials to remind us that God is present, but he was planting seeds within the hearts of those that he was leading and those that he was calling to be a living memorial for the kingdom of God. Not just saying we're going to build this particular facility and call it the kingdom, or we're going to do this and call it, but he's saying, he was planting seeds. Listen to him. And out of a cloud, God speaks. To Moses, the message was clear. Rules and laws turned to a covenant of relationship. But out of a cloud empowered by the Holy Spirit, God speaks to us and transforms the purpose of our life to become the living gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just knowing the gospel, not just thinking about the gospel, but living the gospel, listening to the word of God speak to us, loving one another in ways that goes way beyond how we would do it on our own, and being disciples who make disciples. Speaking out of a cloud, God calls us to follow him into the world, to follow him into the world to live the kingdom of God, not just to be in the kingdom of God, to live that kingdom of God wherever we go, loving with everything we've got, loving with the power of the Holy Spirit working within us to empower us to be the kingdom of God present in the world. Not only does God pleased and loving of his Son, but empowers us to listen once more. And we hear God's voice. We hear God's voice through the reading of his word, through the beauty of the hymns and songs that those that have prepared for us today and sung. God speaks to us through nature. God speaks to us through his calling. God speaks a small, still voice in our hearts and our minds. God speaks to us through others. I shared in the early service this morning that a couple of weeks ago, I was at a worship service and we were about to go to communion, and I was enjoying that, kind of sitting back and enjoying that, and we were about to move to go to communion, and all of a sudden my Apple Watch went off with a text, and I wouldn't normally look at it, but my daughter just had twins 4 days before Christmas, and she has she has a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old boy. They thought they wanted a little girl. Now they have 4 boys. And so whenever I see a text come up for her, I'm a little concerned. I thought, well, I hope everything's okay. So I looked at it, and when I read it, I had to giggle a little bit. They were at church, and she said the two rows that we sit in, one behind us and one in front of us in our row, they're all giggling and laughing because James, the 5-year-old, when they invited him to come forward for the bread and for the juice, James said, "Oh boy, it's the Jesus bread. Yum." Out loud. Sometimes the voices of all those around us, it was the moment of experience to go and take communion. God speaks to us, and we've got to be willing to listen, and that listening empowers us to love. That listening empowers us to go and make disciples for the transformation of the world. And this transformation is not just changing the way we do things, not just changing the way we think. It is truly, in the Greek word for transfiguration, is metamorphosis. It is a metamorphosis. Jesus doesn't turn into a butterfly. The whole purpose of his ministry now changes to him creating memorials, living memorials in the lives of those to whom he is leading. It is a moment where all of God's purpose changes, and where the change is that now we are empowered by God to love one another in ways we never could, to share the presence and the kingdom of God in ways we never could, to not just stay in one place, but to move beyond the doors and called out to be God's people alive and working and loving in the world. Reggie McNeil, theologian and pastor, wrote several years ago a book called Missional Renaissance. And in that book, it was a powerful, powerful book. And in that book, he said, I love what he wrote. He said, the Spirit of God is on the move in the world, like a mighty wind blowing across the face of the earth as it was at creation. It's time that we put up the sails of the church and the sails of those who are called disciples and follow the Spirit. Be blown by the Spirit to make a difference, to live the kingdom of God, not to just to be in the kingdom of God. So this morning, as we leave this place, after 49 years of ministry, somewhere about 30 years ago, it suddenly occurred to me that when we leave a place and when we say the benediction and we send people out, that we often just leave. God didn't call us just to come and listen. God didn't call us just to come and participate and just to worship, though all those things are powerful and we enjoy that. We hear the word of God. We are empowered by the Spirit, but God calls us to follow him out the doors. So after a while and being taught by a very faithful layperson who said, "Preacher, you need to start giving us homework before we leave." So let me give you a little homework this morning. Who is it in your world that needs to hear about the love of Christ? Who is it in your world who is hungry to know about the kingdom of God? Who is it in your world that needs to be touched because they are lonely and fearful and hurting? God can call lots of people, but God may be calling you. And out of the cloud, God is speaking and saying, "Listen to Jesus. Listen to him. He is the one who will guide you, and the Holy Spirit will empower you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you stand? So, I don't always like to just do a prayer to close. Turn around and look at the folks around you and hear these words as you're looking at all those that are gathered here together with you this day. Thank you, Lord, for all that are gathered in this place. Thank you for the presence that we feel because you come to us when we most need you. Thank you, Lord, that this is not a cloud. This is a bright, sunny day. Lord, send us forth to be your people in the world. Go now in peace. Amen.